Please stand in body or in spirit. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By faith, we understand the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. This is from Hebrews chapter 11, lest you think I thought of that. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. And now let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another, keeping silence for reflection and self-examination of our sins. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And
Let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and the light of your church. Open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may be ready to receive you whenever you appear. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
The first reading is from Genesis, the 15th chapter. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your own, very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward the heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord. And the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 33 responsively with me. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage.
The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all humankind.
From where he sits enthroned, he watches all the inhabitants of the earth. A king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength.
The war horse is standing over victory, and by his great might he cannot save.
Truly the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love.
To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive again.
Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
Our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name.
Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. The second reading is from Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land that he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architecture and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered himself faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear and they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near. All right. I'm going to start that one over. I confused myself. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourself that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. It's obvious I'm not preaching on that part of it. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Listen to this part. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and sit down and to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be to Christ.
And there is just so much in that gospel to preach on that I'm going to preach on Genesis today. All right, Adam, I've got an audible coming your way. For our hymn of the day, I want to do 623, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Y'all know it, so it's fine. You'll just have to pull out the cranberry hymnal. So, as you can probably see, my kids aren't here today, and I was like, Andrea, do you just want to come with me today to church, like the whole day? And she's like, ugh. So, do you know what's better than listening to one of my sermons? Listening to two of my sermons. But as we walked out of the other church, she said, I'm not gonna lie, I kind of fell asleep a little bit. I'm like, what? And I said, well, that's good. You get to hear it again. It's not even a boring sermon. It's not even that long. So I do need for this sermon a heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. I will settle for a middle-aged pigeon if that's all you have, is a middle-aged pigeon. Oh, and I need a chainsaw. I need a chainsaw. If the chainsaw didn't clue you in, if you lend me your animals, they will be returned to you slightly different than when you gave them to me, because I do need to cut them in half. I figure, why not here in this sanctuary, a little zip, zip, zip with a chainsaw? Except we don't do that to the birds. The birds, I guess, were just supposed to, like, snap their necks a little bit, and, you know, we're ready to cut a covenant like Abram and God did. We actually stopped short in our Genesis reading of this weird and messy Old Testament stuff, but trust me, it's there. This is messy, as in it's literally messy, I'm guessing. I've never done it, but I'm guessing it's messy to cut an animal in half. It is messy, as in Abram's life is a hot mess. And messy as in, what do we do with stories of cut in half animals from Scripture? I mean, this covenant that is being cut here, does it even matter? We have a new covenant. Why does Abram, later Abraham, matter to us at all? We have Jesus. Why do we need Abram? The story of Abram and Sarai begins with God saying to him, leave your country, your kin, and your father's house, and go to the place where I'm going to show you. God then layers on these promises very thickly. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. Guess what? I will even curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And Abram's like, tell me a little bit more about that cursing of my enemies thing. I kind of like that part. I'll take you up on that. Andrea's like, the jokes don't get any better the second time. Fast forward a little bit. God shows up to Abram in a vision. This is the part we heard. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Which, as my Old Testament professor, Rolf Jacobson, says, means, were you listening? It means, I'm about to give you good news. Good news, Abram. Your reward shall be very great. And Abram responds with a resounding, yeah, right. Reward will be very great. You dragged me from my family and from my nice, comfy life out into the middle of nowhere. And look around, God. Do you see a great nation surrounding me? No. Look here, God. You said that you'd take care of my enemies, but I got a big old list. And you haven't done anything to any of them. No curses on any of my enemies. Why not, God? And the Lord responds with more promises. He takes Abram outside and says, look up at the heavens. Count the stars. If you can even count that high, probably not. And Abram believes the Lord at this promise. Abram's faith, his conviction in things not yet seen, a great nation when he'd yet to have even a single child, his faith has reached its pinnacle. God doesn't need to see, to say or do or show anything else to him for him to believe. And this is when God says, oh wait, but there's more. This is when God cuts a covenant with Abram. To cut a covenant. A covenant in the Hebrew means to cut. To cut a covenant, which is where the goat, the ram, and the chainsaw comes in. We literally cut them, except for the birds. You're just, you know, kind of their necks. God, not Abram, seals this covenant. There is this smoking fire pot, a flaming torch that passes between these pieces of animals. And this passing between and who does it really matters. This passing between, it is the rite that seals the covenant. It's what cements this promise. God and God alone, we find, is the one who passes through the pieces of these dead animals. Abram is kind of in a trance. He doesn't pass through them, which means that God and God alone is bound to this covenant. And in doing so, God is acting out God's faithfulness, is embodying faithfulness to Abram, to Abram's promised descendants, and through them all the families of the earth. Which is kind of wild, because in covenant terms, this is where the cut up animals comes in. In covenant terms, God is saying, if I don't keep this covenant with you, this promise that I am making to you and with you, let it be done to me as has been done to these animals. Cut in half with a chainsaw, and necks snapped. That's what God is saying will be done if he doesn't keep the covenant. I am willing to die to keep this promise to you, God says, no matter what, even if it is your fault, even if it is you that keeps screwing up. I know you're puzzled. You're like, that can't be right. It's right. I'll get there. But God, I mean, God's not going to have to die, right? God's not going to have to die because of us, right? Surely not. We find out that even when Abram is at the pinnacle of his faith, the Lord reckoned his faith to him as righteousness. And just after God seals this covenant, and impatience starts to set in, faith starts to slip away. Abram and Sarai lose faith in the promise, and in a disturbing tale of exploitation, see Genesis 16 for some light reading. They abuse a slave girl, Hagar. They try and fail to deliver the promised descendants on their own, and they leave unimaginable pain and suffering and trauma in their wake through their sin, through their lack of faith. It's probably just a back then thing, though. They have lost their faith in God. If we change these names and details of the sin, of the going it alone, of the lost and wavering faith, and this story, it is most certainly repeated and repeated and repeated over and over and over again, down through Scripture, up to and including now. And that is why this Old Testament stuff matters to us, because this messy Old Testament stuff, in them we find our messy stories and our messy lives. And in them we are woven into Abram's story. Our deepest, darkest sins, our moments of unfailing faith. You got one picked out? Say it aloud, all right? No? Okay. Well, just think about it. Our deepest, darkest sins, our moments of unfailing faith. Who here would want those moments, even one of them, whispered about amongst just a handful of people? Let alone written down, repeated, preached on, and read by billions of people for millennia, like has been done to Abram. Who here could hold up under such scrutiny as Abram has endured? Certainly not me. If one of you could, let me know. This messy Old Testament stuff matters to us because our messy stories, our messy lives, they are woven into Abram's story, which, as we know, is God's story. And it is a story that is all about God's faithfulness. The story of God being faithful to this ridiculous, lopsided promise. It's a ridiculous promise, right? A lopsided promise to us, a people who have rejected the promise. And God, over and over and over again. A God who keeps the promise by embodying God's faithfulness in the person of Jesus Christ. Ours is a God who ultimately fulfills this promise, this covenant, by letting be done to God as has been done to these cut and half pieces of animals and neck snapped birds on a cross. In the person of Jesus Christ on the cross, God has done what we cannot. God has done what we cannot on the cross in the person of Jesus Christ. And this means that it is God's faithfulness. It is God's faithfulness. It is a faithfulness of God made known in and through Jesus Christ, embodied in Jesus Christ, fully realized in Jesus' death and resurrection. It is God's faithfulness that stands over and above our own faith. I'm not saying your faith's not important. I'm saying that God's faithfulness stands above our own. This is good news because God's faithfulness to the promise never wavers. our faithfulness, your faithfulness, my faithfulness, just like Abram's, is not steadfast. Our faith, it knows its highs and its lows, and everywhere in between. We have our days of blessed assurance. We have our days of hopeless doubt. God's faithfulness to us, though, this is what... I'm going to start that over because it's very important. God's faithfulness to us, this is what carries us and sustains us when our faith fails. When our faith is empty, God's faith restores ours. We don't earn God's faithfulness. It is not about what we have done or what we will do or what we could ever do. It's about what God has already done for us and continues to do for Abraham, for his descendants, and for us, so that all the families of the earth will be blessed. And this means that you and me, this community of faith here at First Lutheran, all of us are then freed and invited to embody our faith. Even though it is sometimes hopeless faith, even though it is always messy faith, so that we too, through the vocations of our everyday lives, might participate in the promise and the revelation of God's faithfulness. A faithfulness to the world that so desperately needs to hear it said, do not be afraid, which of course, as we now know, means I'm about to give you good news. And this world is a world that needs good news. And the good news is this, God is faithful. The promise was fulfilled on the cross. The promises are still being fulfilled. And this, my dear siblings in Christ, this is what frees us to go forth and embody this good news in everything that we say and in everything that we do to everyone. To everyone. And I'm sorry to say, but everyone does mean the people on Abram's list and my list of those that we might want to be cursed. But ultimately, God's plan is for this entire world, all the families of the earth, to be blessed through God, and that flows through us from Abraham all the way to now. Amen. We will sing Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. It will not be up there unless that's the one we accidentally picked. No? Yeah. 623 in your cranberry hymnal.
Thank you.
Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into heaven. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life of the righteous. Amen.
For our prayers of intercession, do we have any additional prayers this morning? Barb?
Lois and Dick.
Lois and Dick.
Alan.
Alan. And we'll be adding Andy, who is having a procedure done this week.
In solidarity with all creation, we join our voices to the voice of the whole church and pray for the needs of the world.
You know the actions and deeds of the nations. Turn humanity away from instruments of war and violence and fashion the hearts of world leaders to work for peace. Move leaders to call out and act upon the evils that lead to hunger, starvation, and famine. And do not allow any more of this present generation to pass away due to lack of food or senseless violence. God of grace.
Hear our prayer. Let your loving kindness be on those in need. Especially this day we lift to you, Millie, Jack Jr., Dave, Andy, Barb, Lois and Dick, Alan, those on our long-term and homebound assisted living and limited mobility prayer lists, and for those that we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Assure all who are afraid or experiencing great uncertainty that your promises are sure. God of grace.
Be with those who have been forced to set out from country and kindred, not knowing where they may end up, but do so in faith. As you did with Abram, provide for them shelter, sustenance, protection from harm, and welcome. God of grace.
Hear our prayer. Trusting in your loving kindness, we place our prayer and hope in you. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is and remains our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another.
We worship with our gifts and our offerings.
God, in your wisdom you bring forth all that is good, and the harvest is plentiful. Strengthen us at your table with these gifts of the earth and our labor, that we may work for the good of all, through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened it to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The kingdom of God is set before us. It is here where we will eat and rejoice. So come to this table where all are always welcome.
Thank you.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Sustaining God, you gathered us to your table, and we drink deeply of your grace. Send us out by your Spirit to love our neighbors as ourselves and proclaim your love in Jesus' name.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, wait. It's the end. Anyway, is it afternoon yet? Okay, so an answer to last week's question alongside a wrong announcement that was right at the time of printing. We are having a committee meeting on Thursday at 5. It will be the meal ministry team and anyone else that wants to come, mostly property folks or budget folks, whatever. We are going to make a final decision, final this time, on our refrigerator. We've gotten lots more information. It costs a lot of money to put in a commercial refrigerator, just the install part, because they're very heavy and they don't fit through our doors. Anyway, stay tuned. You asked if we've fundraised to our goal. We have fundraised to our goal. We think it's still going to be our goal, but we'll find out more on Thursday. So, anyway, thank you to everyone who's been involved with that. Thank you to everyone who's given to this project, because it is a very important mission for this church and for the people of this community. So, that's where we're at on the refrigerator, and we will meet Thursday at 5 p.m. to hammer out the final details. So, we continue to collect our noisy offering for LDR flooding relief. And Lutheran Partnership meeting in about a week and a half. Not this Wednesday, but the following. Any other announcements this morning? That is here. That is here. So that in a week and a half. But also Thursday's meeting will be here as well. I don't know. We'll probably just meet out here since it's just one group, and it'll probably be 10 minutes in and out. Anyway, any other announcements? Seeing and hearing none, please stand for a blessing. Sorry, please stand in body or in spirit. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen.
But by faith, we set out from this place.
Go forth, then.